Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
It's sci-fi and Squeam Gym, but not as we know it. On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
Tuesday night from 10 p.m.
On Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam, and we have a special interview on the phone line with director, creator of something called 41. It's Glenn Triggs on the phone. Welcome to the show, Glenn.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. We're talking about 41. Now, you've come back from the US, and you've done how many festivals with the film?
It was in 2 festivals.
Yep.
We got 4 nominations for the Maverick Movie Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a Golden Ace Award at the Las Vegas Film Festival.
Wow. Now, before I ask you what these awards are all about, for our listeners, can you tell us what 41 is, you know, what the premise is about, the film?
Yeah, sure. 41, sure. It's a feature film. It's a drama. It's about a young man who discovers a hole in the floor of a local motel that leads to yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a time travel film. Lots of twists and turns. We spent about 2 years making the film. Well, I spent about 2 years making the film, I should say. All the cast and crew spent about 1 year making it. We shot it on a Canon 5D for about $10,000 in total.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's been heaps of fun. It was a great experience, and it's good that it's, yeah, doing good things in the festival world.
Yeah, sounds it. Now, I have seen the film, so I don't want to spoil it too much for our listeners.
Yep.
But very impressive. I mean, when I first saw it, because prior to that, you've done something called Cinemaphobia.
Yes.
And that was very different from this film. Very different.
Yes.
So when I sat down to watch it, the first time I watched it, I really noticed the difference, firstly, in the cinematic quality of it. And it's just this Canon 5D you're talking about. Is that the difference I'm experiencing, which is such clarity, such... I wouldn't call it high definition, but
it's
the tonality of it.
It's very much more of a film look. Like the Canon 5D has a very large sensor in it,
mm-hmm.
which basically means you get a lot of depth of field. So the background is usually out of focus if you've got a close up of someone's face.
Okay.
And that's basically what film sort of looks like. With Cinemaphobia, that was shot on actually a more expensive camera. But it didn't have the depth of field, so it gave it more of like a TV look rather than a film look.
Yeah, okay.
Which is easy to make with a smaller sensor, but with the Canon 5D, it's harder to keep things in focus, but you do get that really nice cinematic look to it.
It reminded me of films that used to be made, you know, like in the 70s, you had Robert Altman films, and it just got that full tonality, so... Look, impressed at that point, and then of course we get into the story, which I don't want to spoil it for people. Now, what inspired you to make a film that is such a departure of what you've done? You did it basically, it was a slasher, Cinemaphobia, I guess.
Yeah.
To do this is a kind of science fiction, but it's time traveling. It's very difficult to do. Why choose something that was why on earth? What made you think you could do this? Pull this off?
Well, when I made Cinemaphobia, I knew it was a very horrific, teenage sort of movie that I sort of set out to make. And when I looked back on it, I kind of thought, if that's the last film that I make, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. So I thought, what's something that I really want to do? Like, what do I really think about a lot and stuff like that? So I'm a very science-minded sort of person to some degree, I guess. I love science fiction. I love drama films, so I thought I'll sort of mix them two together, came up with a very basic premise, which is basically just, a hole in the floor of a motel. I have no idea exactly where that came from, but it just seemed to be something that was just a bit obscure, that could also be very realistic in a science fiction sort of themed idea. And something that will be easy to film, but the thing that turned out to be the hardest part was just the twists and turns, because time travel tends to add layers of complications onto things.
Exactly.
So the script took a while, and even when the script was done, the movie ended up being very different from the script, because we sort of realised there was a lot more to the story that could be told.
Mm.
The story always was kind of there, but we could add more layers to it with editing and as we film things as well. So it that turned out good.
Mm. Yeah, look, very thought-provoking idea, definitely. And, yeah, doing time travel, and anyone who's read any sci-fi knows, look, if you've read H.G. Wells, I mean...
Yep.
You know what happens. You start going back in time to change things, you can change potentially things that you wouldn't have thought would alter, but you're altering time. So
Right. What
a hell of a job to write a script, I mean.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make it slightly different from most time travel films where it doesn't actually make sense. Because to some degree, most time travel films do make sense.
They try to work it out. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go Marty McFly can go back and actually change things that will affect the future. Where this film, I wanted it to be that the whole movie was such like a paradox that if you think about it, it doesn't actually make sense. Like it's sort of like what happened first, the chicken or the egg type of question, I guess. And it's just got this circular motion to it that can be quite confusing. It confuses me when I think about it too much sometimes.
And me.
But, yeah.
I mean, every time I have watched it, I thought, oh, how come that happened? But then you're right. I have to think, this is like paradox. This is like if you move, just shadows on the wall, it can change the way it depends where you're standing, you know, when you're looking at that shadow, depends on the angle. So it's something that... Yep. It's not tidy. It's not a clean-cut, tidy narrative at all. Not a tidy plot device. Yeah, it's really engaging. That's my opinion. So.
Yeah, it was very confusing, but at the same, like I originally, when I edited the film for the first cut, it was very cryptic and it didn't necessarily make much sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed a few people and they were just very confused and it kind of was disappointing to me because... You know, I wanted them to have this emotional reaction to different elements of the film and they weren't getting it because they didn't actually understand what was happening.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and just make simple changes just to sort of fill in the gaps, and that was mainly done with editing. And that just seemed to...
People
got it straight away. Yeah, like my parents understood it and I didn't think, you know, I thought that'd be the last people to understand it, but my mom got it perfectly, so that was cool.
Look, it's actually something that's you don't normally see in such things, and that is... It's quite a sobering idea as well. And without ruining it again for our listeners who hopefully get a chance to see it at some point. Now, it is about love and what happens if you love someone that you might not be able to have for whatever reasons.
Yes, yeah.
And that in itself, I think, is enough to at least grab the audience, grab a viewer at that point. But you've managed to keep them. You managed to keep me watching and... I'm not so good with romance films,
right.
So I usually give up on them pretty early and go, oh, yeah, boy meets girl, blah, blah, blah. Well,
yep.
I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm just going to say it's not that straightforward, and that's refreshing.
That's good, I did set out to do that sort of thing.
It's not the usual boy meets girl.
Exactly
girl
right.
meets boy, whatever.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
People meet and fall in love, but...
Yeah.
Love isn't straightforward. Not in
and
your
neither
film.
Is, neither is time travel, so it works out well.
Exactly. There's a wormhole or two. Okay. So, look, you finished the film. When did the whole Las Vegas thing, going to the festival, when did that happen? Were you invited or how does it work?
Yeah, well, with the festival thing, it usually works you submit the film to different festivals.
Okay.
So I submitted the film to 12 film festivals.
Yep.
And 3 film festivals have been announced, and so we got into 2 of those festivals. So 2 out of 3 isn't too bad.
Yeah.
Missed out on the Melbourne International, but I expected that to happen, so that's fine.
Mm.
And so there's still a few more festivals up and coming.
Cool.
So it's just a matter of just waiting to see. Hopefully we'll get into a few more, which will be good. Mm. And so, yeah, I've pretty much got an email just a few weeks ago, I think it would have been, or maybe about a month and a half ago, about the Las Vegas one, and yeah, just thought it'd be a great opportunity to go over there, and yeah, we got an award, so it was good.
Viva Las Vegas, Maverick Award. Yeah. Have you ever thought of yourself as a maverick or a pioneer?
No, not really. No, not at all, actually.
It sounds very like a Western, a High Noon or something.
Yeah.
So what sort of films were you up against? What sort of films do they take? Is it a sci-fi or horror festival or
no,
not?
It was just quite a general sort of film festival. They kind of just take all – a lot of them were international films.
Okay.
I think out of all the films, I think there was one other Australian film that was in there. There weren't many feature films. Like, we were one of, I think, like, 12 feature films. The rest were all, like, short films, student films, and music videos. So it was quite a mismatch. Like, there was documentaries, there was... I don't think there was many horror films, actually. And, yeah, we were just the time travel film. So it was good. It was good fun over there because they had, like, a filmmakers panel, which I was part of. So I was just kind of sitting in front of a whole bunch of strangers with American accents and...
How did you feel, like, you know, with that sort of attention? What is that like? Are you someone that likes that sort of attention?
I think everyone sort of likes that sort of attention, but when it actually happens, the reality is always so different from what you think it's going to be. And I'm someone that sort of looks at things like I'm always like the glass is half empty sort of person. So I don't think too high. Yeah, it's kind of those weird things. Like, it was a great experience over there, but I don't try to think of it as, like, you know, the best thing in the world. And I need to, you know, keep, you know, making films and not let that be the, I don't want that. It was a great highlight, but I don't want it to be the
only
highlight.
Yeah. So yeah. Where to next? You said that there's a second festival. You've been to that one as well?
The second festival, the Maverick Film Festival, it's more of like a distribution festival.
Okay.
So it's not, they don't actually screen the films. They kind of have this, it's kind of a weird festival. They just get all the different films. I think last year's film was an Australian film that won, actually, which is quite good. But they get all the films in and they, you know, there's winners announced and awards given out, but they don't actually have a screening, which is strange. I'm sure it's for them to, you know, cut costs.
Yeah, where's this one based? This
one's in New York.
It's in New York, cool.
And so what they do is after that, all the films get sent off to distribution agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a springboard, I guess, where films can just get seen by companies rather than, you know, the general audience. So it's quite a strange festival. I just realised that the other day. But anyway, we got 4 nominations in that, so it's something.
Cool.
That's, you know, out of 5,000 films or whatever it was, which is quite good.
So what happens at this distribution one? Is it then that you get companies pick it up or they want to...
Yeah, it's... I'm not exactly 100% sure on how it works. But it's... Yeah, they definitely... You know, the winner gets distribution if they want it. Like, they don't have to take it. It's sort of just like an offer to say, you know, these people will distribute your film, whether it's cinemas or on DVD. And, I would assume some people would love it and some other people would say, oh no, I can get a better offer somewhere else or whatever.
It's a marketplace, yeah, I guess.
So I'll find out more about it soon, hopefully. But at the moment, yeah, I'm just sort of just hoping for the rest of the festivals, like the Sundance Festival's coming up and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So
when's that? January 2013? Is it January?
I think so. Yeah, they announced it in December, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So fingers crossed. I don't like to assume that I'm going to get in because I've been disappointed so many times in the past. But, anything's possible, so yeah.
Okay, what other festivals are there? Are there any in Australia that would fit with your film that you are aware of?
I think every sort of state has their own festival. Like, there's the Brisbane International Film Festival, there's the Melbourne International one that's
out
at the moment.
Adelaide is good as well.
Yeah, they've all got their... But other than that, there's not really many that take feature films. A lot of them are just short films, obviously Tropfest. But yeah, Australia's kind of strange for that. And even at these international festivals, they don't usually play a lot of Australian films because
local,
they're not international.
Yeah.
So they're playing, you know, movies from the States or from Japan and all these different places. So, yeah, it's kind of difficult to get an Australian feature into a festival, but yeah.
Oh, cross fingers and everything.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's the journey's really sort of started. I mean, you've made the film, you've come up with the idea, you've done a lot of changes and made different versions, I guess, of it.
Yeah.
It's been produced, it's made, right? Your first couple of festivals. But as I'm discovering, just from interviewing filmmakers like yourself, this is just the start of the journey. This is just the start of the life of this film. Would this, in a year's time, will you still be where you are now, but with obviously more festivals, hopefully, under your belt? Or
yeah, well, hopefully, like the plan is to get the film sold, I guess. Like, I'd love to get it distributed all over the place. That's the goal, and I'm hoping that the festivals will sort of push that to happen quicker, which would be good, and that's usually the best sort of place to do it. And then after that, I'm actually working on another script at the moment, so I'm kind of just, I'm letting the festival thing happen for itself and all that, the business, because that's something that you can't really control, you know, the film's done, it gets out there.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed and see what happens. But in the meantime, yeah, I've just got a whole new film sort of in the very early stages of development. So,
Now, do you collaborate, or you're working pretty much on your own as far as writing these films?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
On your own, right. Wow.
I have worked with a few different people in the past, but I always end up getting, I'm quite controlling, which is not a good thing at all.
Wow.
So I tend to write what I want to happen in a film, and then I'll sort of filter it through different people that I know to make things work a bit better.
Yeah.
But the initial idea sort of has to be mine in my own head before.
Because you got to work with people, ideally, end of the day.
Yes.
Got to get along and work with people. Now, okay, so it's an amazing film, actually. It's an amazing feat. It's, I mean, to make something like this, doing it yourself pretty much, it's very brave. I think very courageous, actually. But do people say to you, are you crazy? Do people go, Caroline, come on?
Not really. I know a lot of filmmaking people because we're sort of, there's a whole group. There's actually hundreds of people making films like right at this very moment all over Australia.
Yeah.
And I know probably about 20 of them. But I think a lot of people, like, to get a feature film finished is very difficult. It's sort of, the momentum sort of stays the same up until about the three-quarter mark. And then it gets to a point where it's kind of like, do I finish it or do I give up? And I know a lot of people that have given up at that point because it just, you know, people lose interest, people lose momentum, money runs out. All these things happen. So it's three-quarter mark. Well, this is what I've experienced anyway. And so if you can just push past that point, it's sort of downhill after that, which is really good. But, yeah, it's a lot of work. I don't really, no one's ever said that I'm crazy or anything like that.
Okay.
I think I'm...
I'm the first person to do that. Sorry.
No, that's fine. But I've had a lot of people are sort of, I guess they're, a lot of filmmakers, I guess it's quite an impressive thing. Like, I look at other filmmakers that are making films right now, and it takes a long time. That's when you're doing things by yourself. It takes a really long time. Like, some people, you know, spend 2, 3, 4 years on a film. This one was reasonably short.
Yes.
In comparison, I guess. But I think all films... Yeah, they take as long as they need to take to get finished. And then you have to sort of, you know, put the stamp on it at the end of the day and say, that's it.
Yeah, walk it's away. Done. Put the film down and walk away.
Yeah, that's
otherwise,
the hard part
you won't finish it. You know, you'll end up like Terry Gilliam or something.
Yeah, you can never reach perfection, I guess. But what is perfection anyway? Like, it's
just make another film.
Yeah, exactly right.
What, you don't... let the grass grow too long before you move into another project. Can you tell us anything at all about this new one?
Yeah, it's a film that I'm pretty sure I can't make on my own this time.
okay. Sorry for laughing,
I think I said the exact same thing last time before I made 41. Like, I was talking to my girlfriend and she said, you know, the last time you said you couldn't, you know, make 41 because it was too complicated. And then I just made it. So there's a chance I could make this next film, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to need an actual proper film studio system behind me to actually get it done.
Right.
That's the plan anyway. But it's a science fiction film. It's a really big scale science fiction film. It's kind of like, I kind of think of it as a mix between Titanic and 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, goodness.
Which sounds really sort of, you know... That does actually sound crazy.
Ambitious, I think, is the word. That's a nicer word to say.
Okay, ambitious is good.
It's ambitious, and I'm passionate.
It's a very big scale film. It's basically about the first group of people to leave Earth for a new planet in a very realistic science fiction format. So they're not traveling, you know, they're not going into hypersleep, and nothing like that. It's all just they actually have to live on this ship.
Well, they have to work. I've always wondered about the hypersleep thing. It's like, okay, you're going to leave it to a machine. We all know what computers do. They crash.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff happens. You need an IT guy, at least.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, there's a lot of things, yeah, like, it's very easy. Like, something like Avatar, like, the first, you know, opening couple of minutes of Avatar, they're just, here we are at the new planet.
It's very easy. Had a nice nap.
Yeah, and I kind of like the idea of setting it in a very realistic environment where, you know, these first group of people know that they're going to die on this ship and their children are going to be the ones that have children, to continue on, and hopefully there's a chance they'll make it to this planet.
Is it a bit steampunkerish? I'm just getting the idea of steam engines and space, but, you know, shoveling coal.
Necessarily. It may very well look like, you know, just a generic sort of science fiction film, but the opening sequence sort of starts in caveman times and kind of it follows like an asteroid shard, which won't really make heaps of sense at the moment, but it follows this asteroid that hits the Earth and it leads up to present day, and it gives scientists this idea that there is another planet out there that can harbour human life. And so they send off this group of people. I've been writing it for about 2 years and I've only got about 25 pages into it, but
sounds good.
Yeah, it's really hard to get it right because I keep sort of falling down these avenues of just making it a very cliched film, and I don't want it to be that at all. The first half I think I've got under control, but the second half is very difficult. But time will tell, I guess.
Time. we've got plenty of time unless the Mayan calendar's correct. But are you excited about, I mean, the Mars rover got Curiosity, landed this week on Monday.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting, don't you think?
I think it's very exciting. At the same time, it is kind of sad that I guess NASA has stopped all their space missions, but at the same time, like, what were they even really doing in the first place, just sending people into orbit? But I really hope we can send people to Mars. I think that'll be...
Have you heard of Mars One?
Vaguely, yes.
Yeah. It's a Dutch outfit that are actually... people can apply, and it's a one-way ticket, but because they probably won't have the quick technology to bring you back. But there's the option, and they think in 5 years' time it should be ready to go. So people are enlisting.
Cool.
I think that's cool. It doesn't sound like the holiday of choice for me, but, well, someone has to do it.
There's another movie in itself, I guess. There's a few Mars movies that I remember came out in the 90s. I think it was Red Planet and Mission to Mars.
Yeah.
Which ended in a very cliched action film.
I know. Ending. It was really cheesy, actually.
Yeah.
They have to put a probe or something into the... Is it one of the asteroids or something? Was that the one?
You might be thinking of Armageddon.
I think I am. That was just terrible.
Yeah, Armageddon Deep Impact. There were two asteroid films that came out at the same time. But Mission to Mars.
Yes, I get.
Cryptic things in there. But I remember. I really liked Red Planet. But when I watch it now, I realise how bad it was. But I think, definitely. I think people should definitely be going to Mars. I reckon that's a great idea.
Would you go?
I don't know. I'd love to go into orbit.
Filmmaker?
I think orbit would be really cool. If I could come back to, like, that.
No, you can't come back. Unless you can raise the money. But they can't even raise that much. That's a lot.
I'd love to go into orbit, and that's probably as far as I'd go. But if there was, you know, breathable air, I might think about it.
Yeah.
But at the moment, there's not.
No. All right. Well, I might wrap it up in a moment, but... anything else you want to say about 41? Where will it play in Australia at this moment? Do you have any...
We're setting up a few more screenings really soon. They'll be on the website, which is 41film.com. We've had a few screenings already and we'll have some more. So, yeah, people just want to look on the website so they can see, you know, there's lots of making of videos on there as well, and the trailers on there too. So there's heaps of stuff on there for people to see.
Cool. Well, we'll certainly put that on the Facebook and direct people there from Sci-Fi and Squeam in any case. So,
excellent.
Look, I hope you do get a festival in Oz. I don't understand why you wouldn't, but hey, Money and politics. I don't know what gets involved, but something something does.
That's cool.
Though, all the best. Seriously, Glenn. And thanks for your patience, and it's great to talk to you again. I'm always seeing your updates on Facebook, and I'm thinking, there's Glenn again. I wonder what is he up to?
Yep.
But you're up to a lot. You're a very busy man. All right.
Yeah. Great. No, thank you for having me on the show.
Cool. All right. Thanks again for coming on to Sci-Fi and Scream. Glenn Triggs, the maker of 41. See it, people. We really have to, because you have to support local filmmakers in genre, because not enough of us getting support. Here's my political plug. So please do. It's a drama. It's a time-traveling drama / even fantasy slightly to me. And a bit of sci-fi. So definitely, if you get a chance to see this film, please do. Cool. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.